Shrub Nation. My name is Anthony Delgado, and today we have a special guest. Raul is a family man, an entrepreneur, investor, and mentor to other entrepreneurs. Raul, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure. Can't wait to share some more insights, brother, with your community.
For sure. So you, an entrepreneur, you started out in real estate. Now you're doing a lot of new exciting things. But before we jump into the future, let's talk about how you got started. Like, what was your first introduction to entrepreneurship like as a kid growing up?
Man, I think that I've been an entrepreneur since I was maybe 11 years old, hustling t-shirts, buying it from the Bronx and selling it to the kids here in Connecticut. And it was because, I saw the opportunity. I used to sell gum. I don't know if you, I think you're old enough to remember when the lollipops that made your tongue blue started to come out. And that was a thing back in the days when I was in high school, that I started hustling candy and hustling t-shirts. And afterwards, I kind of got a little bit distracted to the dark side. So some of my friends were hustling drugs, and I realized, you know what, that's not something I want to do. Some of them went to jail. Some of them got shot. So I said, it has to be a legit way to make money. So then I started working with a lawyer that introduced me to the legal side of doing business. So I wanted to become a lawyer at one point. And I thought I was going to become a lawyer. But then I realized, man, that lawyers, it takes a long time for them to get paid. And as an entrepreneur, you know that we want to bring value to the marketplace. And we also want to make money. So that was my drive. I always knew that I was an entrepreneur since I was 11 years old. But my career really got started when I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. And I don't know if you read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. And Robert Kiyosaki talks about leverage, using real estate as leverage. And I bought my first property when I was 21 years old. I went to the bank and I had 3% down. I got an FHA loan. I think I had like 15 co-signers. I talked to my family to co-sign with me. And we bought our first property. It was a multifamily. So I was making money, renting it out and living there. And that was my first introduction to, as an entrepreneur, to see how we could leverage some money, leverage the banks, and leverage time at the same time.
Very cool. So you read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Did you have any other mentors in your life or people that gave you this advice? Or were you literally reading this book and were like, oh my God, I'm the poor dad. My dad is the poor dad. How do I change the cycle of your legacy?
So here's a cool thing. I read the book and I was halfway through the book and it said you have to buy a multifamily home. So I went out there and I got the multifamily home. So I lived in a one-bedroom apartment, a little tight apartment. I rented the whole house out. And then one day a guy comes over and wants to rent the big part of the house and he pays me a year's worth of rent in one lump sum. At that point, I think it was like $20,000 or something. I never saw that much money in my life. So I took that money. And what do you think I did with the money at 21 years old? What do you think I did with the money?
Invested it into bottle service.
Close. I went out to the BMW dealer and I said, I want you to build me this badass M3 red leather seats. And that's what I made it, man. I felt like that was the whole thing. That was the whole gig, right? Just, make money so you could start flashing. And I bought that car. Actually, I wanted a custom-made car, so I didn't buy it. I put a down payment. I gave them $20,000, and I was going to pay the difference in the monthly payments. And they said, well, it takes 6 months for us to build the car that you want. So I placed the order. I gave them the money, and I continue reading the book. And then I got to the chapter that says, the worst investment you can make is a car. And I said, shit, I fucked up. So I went out to the dealership, and I said, I'm sorry. I need to get my money back. I made a mistake. I can't afford it. So they said, well, at BMW here, we pride ourselves in customer service. So of course, when I give you money back, and they give me money back. So shout out to BMW. Thank you for not keeping my money. And money back. And I invested in another multifamily. And I bought it with my brother. We bought it and we flipped it. We made $100,000 in that property. And I said, that's it. That's the game. That's the game. I said, I could just flip these properties. I just put a paint job. And at that moment, it was easy to make money in real estate. And we were flipping properties left and right. My brother and I, we bought, we sold. We were in the lawyer's office every single week, signing contracts, signing deals. And that's when I quit my job. I went into real estate full time. I met a mentor that showed me the game of how to leverage, how to invest in real estate. And, the rest is history.
That's amazing. So you got lucky that you went all out and customized the car because you were able to get your deposit back and go and invest that money. That's That's an amazing story.
My advice would be, don't do anything until you finish reading the book.
Oh, wow. So now let's talk about, so what year was this around? Because you were talking about the real estate market was a lot different.
So yeah, so I was 21 years old. I think it's like 2001. Then I was riding high, man. We were buying properties. I had a mortgage company. I had a real estate company. I had an investment company. I had a construction company. And all of a sudden, I thought I was untouchable. I had over 150 people working for me. I was a young guy. I was worth millions on my 30th birthday. I remember my CPA sent me a letter saying, hey, how'd you do this, man? In such a short period of time, you're able to create millions of dollars worth of wealth. And I said, well, just invest in real estate, man. You can't go wrong. Every single time that I got money, I bought another property. But when the market crashed, I got too comfortable because I thought I had enough wealth. I had accumulated enough assets that I was going to be able to weather through the storm, and I was over leveraged. And I didn't have people that went through the market cycle before. Had a bunch of people that were riding the waves, and they were looking at me for answers, but I didn't have the answers. I'm like, shit, I'm making shit up as it goes along. So the mistake that I did is I thought I was Superman. I thought I was going to be able to weather the storm. So it just, that from 2005 when it crashed, I think, 2007 when it crashed, it was 2009 that I started to really recoup again. And I lost a lot of assets. I lost millions of dollars, and I almost went broke. But that cycle made me. That cycle made me a real entrepreneur, because anybody could be an entrepreneur when the market is high. Anybody could be an investor when things are going high. But it's when shit goes down, when the storm hits, is when you really realize, okay, what are you made of? Because I could have gotten a job. I could have gone back to my job, or I will figure shit out. And thank God, man, I was hungry. I remember talking to my wife saying I couldn't pay for the mortgage, but I had to pay for the office space. So I always was good at paying of knowing that my business was the only way I was going to get out. It just, I needed to find what was the niche, market. And that's when I think, God, sent me like a little blessing, an email from a marketer that says, I'm going to show you how to invest in distressed properties. I didn't know what it was. And I signed up for that webinar at that point. I'd never been to webinars before. That's what's, it's so important for people who have a message to share the message. You never know who you're going to impact. And this marketer was selling a course of how to invest in distressed real estate. And I remember I didn't have the money, and I bought that course and I put it in my American Express, knowing that in the next month, I probably couldn't be able to afford to pay the bill. And I flew down to Vegas, and I learned the game, and within 30 days, I was back in business because I applied what the information that was given to me was, just like I apply in the book.
That's amazing. So you go down to this conference and you learn from this mastermind, and you're waiting on the Amex to hit, right? I can imagine it. And then what's the first distressed property you buy, and how do you get back on your feet after that? And did you have foreclosures that you were dealing with?
Yeah, well, we have multiple avenues. So you either buy the stress properties, we will buy the short sales, or we'll do short sales. But then I started knocking on banks in every single door of the bank. So we were managing thousands of properties in the stress market. So it went from, buying one little property here to managing thousands and really acquiring portfolios. So that saved my career. Like realizing that in every cycle, in every catastrophe, there's always opportunities. So when people don't make money, there's always opportunity for you to make money. You just have to find the niche. You have to find what's the added value. So I was one of the preferred vendors for HUD, for the government, for Fannie Mae, for Wells Fargo, for Bank of America. I mean, we were expanding like crazy. So the worse the market got, the bigger a company got. And that we rode that wave from 2009 all the way to 2000 and maybe 13, 14, when we started seeing the comeback of the market in real estate.
Very cool. And now you have your transition period. So now where did you go from real estate? I would assume you're still doing real estate, but where did you go from real estate to now what you're doing?
Well, see, that's the story that I think that a lot of entrepreneurs who will listen to the podcast will get value from, because I was focusing on making money. And then once you make money and once you know how to make money, the next level is, are you making a difference? Are you creating an impact? So I started going through what I call the midlife crisis in my 30s, which the reality is that there is no midlife crisis. I realized that as a man, you have to go through the rite of passage. And I believe that a midlife crisis is the opportunity for you to go through what we call the tunnel. And the tunnel is the opportunity for you to come from being a boy to becoming a man. And I think we don't have enough of that right now in our culture because, you know, back in the days, Anthony, if you wanted to become a leader of your tribe or a king in the community, you had to go and kill the wolf in the wilderness, right? You know, the tribe would say, here, take the knife and go fucking kill the wolf. And if you kill the wolf and you come back alive, then you are entitled to lead, right? You have what it takes to lead. Nowadays, leaders are just the ones who can make money, or leaders are the ones who have a position or have a degree. And that's where the midlife crisis comes in, because I wasn't a leader. I knew how to make money, but that was only one avenue of my life. So then I started going through growing pains, physical pains. I thought I had cancer. I started drinking. I started sabotaging my business, sabotaging my relationship, sabotaging my life because I didn't have purpose. I was making money. I just didn't have purpose. So that's when shit went down, and I thought I was going crazy because, you know, I went through depression. I started drinking every single night. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs think that once you make money and you know how to make money, all your problems are going to be solved. But unless you focus on the purpose and the impact that you're making, really money doesn't matter. Money is just going to amplify the promises that you have right now or the shit that you're hiding from.
Absolutely. If you had like one piece of advice to give young entrepreneurs who are coming up to help them thrive without burning out, what would that be?
Fuck balance, brother. There is no balance. And everybody's talking about balance. There is no balance. You have to learn how to integrate your life. You can't just work. Like, you gotta take care of yourself. Now, I never worked out, Anthony, until I had my midlife crisis. I never worked out. I thought like working out or taking care of my body, I'll do it when I'm a billionaire. I'll do it when I have time. I wasn't intentional about my relationships. I only talked to people who would bring me money or were part of my business. I didn't have a circle. I was closed up. I would just focus on what I call the warrior mode. Because the warrior mode is when you go in there and you fucking hunt. And warriors, they only care about two things, Anthony. And you relate in your age. I don't know where you're at right now. But warriors care about getting paid and getting laid. And that's all we care about. And the warrior stage of life is when you find what I call the edge. You have an edge. You have to develop that edge. And that's a good cycle. You know, when you know how to make money and you want to get laid and get paid, that's a cycle, but you can't live on that stage forever. The next level from there is you have to go through the tunnel. And some men right now are stuck in that stage, making money and getting paid. I mean, Tinder, sure, you get laid any single fucking day, making money. You can fucking throw a product online and make some money, but it's not about making money or getting paid. It's about creating a purpose. And then once you go through that tunnel, that midlife crisis that I'm talking about, and every single man is going to hit that, whether it's in your 30s. And I see now, Anthony, the depression that men are going through is they hit in that tunnel early on. I see men going through this at their 20s, man. They know how to make money. They're millionaires online, but they don't have the purpose. They don't have the integration. So they go through the rite of passage in order for them to become what I call the king. A king is somebody who has integrated their life, their business. There is a purpose. Their relationships have purpose. Their health has a purpose. And their connection with a higher power, higher being has a purpose. So everything is about integration in life. There's no balance.
That's awesome, man. I love that. And it's a really important message because, you know, especially in this Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook world, we're always focused on the likes, the instant gratification, the, you know, the next, whatever it is. And all you see is the highlight reel, right? You look on social media, all you see is the flashy cars. And there's not really enough people that are realizing that, you know, success is a journey. It's not really a destination. And it was actually similar to what you did, right? You went and you were going to buy this car. You were like, okay, I made it. Boom, I can afford the car. But it's not about the car. It's about the journey of building, you know, building an organization, empowering others, and sharing your gifts. So no, I really love that.
Here's what I think, I believe, Anthony, that you really don't know if you have that edge, because my program is called The Edge, right? And we talk about having the edge or having an edge. You really don't know if you have that edge, Anthony, until you lose something that you think that's what makes you. Until you go through that tunnel, until you go through that journey. Like, if you're blessed that everything is going fine, great. But everything is going fine in your life and you're not pushing yourself to really go to the next level, then you don't have that edge. Like, having an edge doesn't mean knowing how to make money. Having that edge doesn't mean having a, having all the highlight reels. Having an edge means like, can you go through shit in life and still show up the same way and still create that impact? Because it's not about how, you know, just showing a good side of you. It's about showing the good side of you when shit is not, like, being real about the shit that you're going through. And that's the problem that we have as men. As men, we position ourselves, we pretend we don't have those real relationships that allows us to learn more. And that's what happened with me. The reason I lost millions of dollars is not because I didn't know or didn't have the capacity. It's because I was closed-minded. I was closed up. I didn't let people in to give me the insights. I wasn't seeking for guys who've been through that shit. And as men, we don't ask directions when we get lost in that gas station. So it makes us feel weak if we ask directions in life. That's the reason we have it. Like, that's the reason that we have so much problems as men, is because we get closed up. We don't have that community. We have networking events. We talk about money, but we can't talk about why you're watching porn every single day instead of connecting with your partner. We don't talk about why you're drinking every single night instead of facing your fucking problems. We're not talking about why you don't feel connected with a higher power and you fucking pretend you go to church every single weekend thinking that you have to be a good boy. We're more interested in being good boys than being men. I'm not talking about being a man like in a macho way. I'm talking about being a man and facing the fear, facing the struggle, having those conversations with your lady about like why you're not satisfied. Why you're not satisfied sexually. Why you're not satisfied with a relationship. Have those real conversations. That shit would change the game.
No, definitely. And I think there is almost a crisis in manhood right now where, you know, we're still expected to be hard. And like you said, we can't express our emotions. We can't express our feelings. And then on the flip side, you kind of have like the Me Too movement and all these other kind of movements on the flip side where women are the most self-expressed they could ever be. But men are still in this kind of old traditional mold, and they're not really allowed to express themselves. So what do you think? What's like some advice that
we don't have enough male role models in our lives that we could look up to. I don't, you know, you told me you were in Puerto Rico, I'm Latin, you're Latin. The shit that we go through is acceptable. Like we have bought into the story of what it's like to be a man by our parents, by our grandparents, by our community, by the people who expect us to act a certain way. So like if you cry, you're weak. If you show emotions, you're weak. And that's the reason that we're so bottled up that where can we express our emotions? When we are drunk, when we're high, when we're boys and we want to fucking just, like the reason that most of us, and I've been there, we drink and we go to parties because we want to let go of all the pressure that we have in our lives. At least women have the community. Women have been taught to be around other women and talk about the shit they're going through. Not us. We don't talk about the bad shit. We only talk about the good. And that's the reason that the Me Too movement is so strong. And I believe on that is because it's exposing us to change. It's exposing us to change, man. It's time for us to level up as men and said, okay, shit, man, I'm hurting too, but that's not going to be my story. I need to either move through and pass through because it's not your father's fault. It's not the coach's fault. Like you have so much access now as a man for information, to books, to all this shit that if you don't seek out help, if you don't seek out other people that help you, then it's on you. Your father only raised you the way that he raised you because that's all he knew. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have the books. He didn't have the shit that we have right now. So that's what I'm passionate about, man. I'm helping businessmen become better leaders. That's what we need in this world. Fucking leaders. Not men that know how to make money. Not men that are looking to be successful or that are chasing success. I'm looking for men that are leaders that are looking for greatness, that are pursuing greatness. And not just in business, greatness in their lives. They have a legacy. I have a 13-year-old kid, a son. Like I want him 20 years from now to be able to see shit. Like this is what leaders do. I want my little girl to marry a man that will take care of her, not because he has to, but because she wants to.
That's amazing. I love that. So we're running low on time, but before we start to wrap up with the last questions, tell us more about the 100-day challenge.
The Edge 100-Day Challenge is really helping men in 100 days to do more than they usually would do in a year. So my niche market is men from 35 years old to 55 years old, established businessmen that really want to integrate everything into their lives, their business, their marriage, their connection with a higher power, their health, and they're tired of trying to look for balance. I don't believe in balance. So in 100 days, we take them through a process and a system, through a software that we have, through a community, through, you know, holding them accountable through experiences, through a boot camp. Actually, the reason I have so much energy right now, Anthony, is because I just finished a boot camp yesterday, and we took a group of men that, you know, most of them are running seven-figure businesses, and we took them to an experience. So in 3 days, they were able to accomplish more than they will accomplish in months and have a clear plan to get shit done. I don't believe in motivation. I don't believe in, you know, in just consuming information. I believe in execution. That if you execute, even if you fail, you learn. So my job is to teach men in 100 days to do more than they will do in a year and live your life 100 days at a time. And that's how you compound time.
That's amazing. So you create this 100-day structure, and then you're not really getting burnt out about the 5-year goal or the 10-year goal. You're taking it 100 chunks at a time, 100 days at a time.
Yeah, because you never know who you're going to be. I mean, 5 years, I don't even have a 5-year plan. I have a vision, but I don't have a plan. I have a 100-day plan right now, which I'm execute. And then once I execute, I know what to do to create the next 100 days. And then the moment that I start seeing what I need to adjust, we adapt, we adjust, and we execute again. So it's kind of instead of creating this dream that one day we live in on today. We execute on today because today is the only day that matters.
Love that. If you could be remembered for one thing, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be my kids to know that their father made a difference. I want them to feel proud, and in my last days for them to say, like, my dad gave it everything he fucking had and he didn't leave nothing in the fucking table. But every single day he lived to the fullest, he loved to the fullest, he played to the fullest, and he lived with no regrets.
That's awesome. I love that. Last question. What does disrupt mean to you?
Disrupt means being different. Being different. And I think that we all need to disrupt our lives at one point or another because it gets boring sometimes. And the moment that it gets boring, that means you get comfortable. So you constantly need to disrupt your life to get out of your comfort zone so you can fucking grow. Because that's what our whole purpose in life, Anthony, is not to make money or to have success. The whole purpose of life, our experience is to expand as human beings, to fucking grow. And we can't grow unless we disrupt ourselves. Don't wait for the market to disrupt you. Don't wait for life to disrupt you. You create that disruption intentionally so you could grow.
That's amazing. That actually is the name of our next mastermind. It's called Disrupt Yourself. It's a 2-day boot camp where we focus disrupt yourself, disrupt you is the first day, all about yourself, and disrupt your business is the second day. And like you put the nail on the head, it's like change, right? How do we kind of get off of autopilot and actually make a change for the better? Because if not, you're gonna wake up 100 days later and you're not gonna make any progress, right?
And here's the reality. I mean, most people, you know, don't have a 100-day plan. Most people have a 12-year vision, a 12-year plan. I mean, a 12-month plan, but they don't have 100 days. You ask anybody, where are you going to be 100 days? They won't even know. 100 days at a time. And if one thing that your community could take away from this, what I would like them to understand is that life is going to punch you in your fucking face. You better learn to take the punches and continue to move forward. As an entrepreneur, the biggest blessing that you could have is failing. Because once you fail, you know that you could become better. And the second thing is, 100 days at a time. If you live your life 100 days at a time, you will give everything you have, but you don't have to wait for that one day. There is no one day. Success is not about one day. Success is about today.
It's awesome. I love that. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your passion and your insights. If people want to connect with you on social media and they want to learn more about the 100-day challenge, where can they go?
They go to thenextlevelexperience.com. We actually have a leadership summit coming up in February 25th, 26th here in New York. You go to my Instagram, Raul The Edge, Raul THEHEDGE. thenextlevelexperience.com is probably the best website. You could fill out the application there and we'll send you an invitation to come to the leadership summit that we have. We'll have businessmen that are going to talk about preparing themselves for the crash, because the crash is coming, Anthony. The storm is coming. And that's where you're going to see a lot of entrepreneurs really being tested. And my intention is that every single entrepreneur gets ready for the biggest opportunity in their lives.
It's amazing. Raul, thank you so much for being on the show. And we're going to put all those links down in the show notes. And yeah, I'll see you soon.
Awesome, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it.